The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good afternoon.
My microphone is stuck. Hold on.
Here, let me pull it out. There we go.
Are you going to be like that today?
Yeah. I thought I would.
Oh, welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. This episode will be brought to you by Bill Cundiff, obviously. Yeah. So anyway, I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
You already met Bill and our engineer.
And I'm the voice of reason, Bob Martin.
Yeah, the guy with all the buttons, actually. Is that where the reason is over there with all the buttons?
The guy with all the buttons is the guy with all the power.
Exactly. We just sit over here on the... Well, shoot, I couldn't handle the microphone this morning, so...
There was a handful.
So, obviously, I lose.
Oh, yeah.
I asked you to pull that side up so I could tell you. Okay, so, little information here. You can always find our information at wethepeopleradio.us. We air Sundays live from noon to 2 here at KCNR 1460 AM in Redding, California. Don't hold that against us that we happen to be in California. Yeah. I wasn't born here. I just live here now. Bill's actually from here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, used to be able to say it was by choice, but I guess it really is by choice. We could bail like many people are, but...
Anymore, you just
diehards.
We actually drove around last week up into Oregon. It's like, well, would it be better here? I don't know.
Well,
they have their own
nice.
Problems. Yeah. Everybody's got their own problems. Then Mondays, the show replays. Mondays, 1 to 3 Eastern Time on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. And those guys are using WNJC 1360 AM. And then Conservative Commandos has come up with a pretty good idea. They've got a phone number where you can listen to all the programming that is in the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. You can listen to them over your phone. So maybe you have crummy, internet signal and, you know, streaming programs and stuff is a problem. You can always dial 832-999-1199. And I'll give you that again in a second. And I guess the programs just loop all the time on that number. They're on at the correct time when they normally air. So you'd find us Mondays from 1 to 3 on that network.
That would be 10 to 1 Pacific time.
Yeah.
But or 10 to noon Pacific time. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 to noon. Yeah, because you actually listen to it, huh?
Yes.
You listen at the different time.
I listen to WNJC on my phone.
There you go. See, there's always the phone option, too. But the dial-up number there is 832-999-1199. So if you have free cell minutes or, you know, you have a landline that doesn't cost you a long distance and you want to hear some good conservative radio, that's a second way to do it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have those internet radios, too, but I wonder if...
But then they could listen online.
They listen online.
There are a lot of folks who just don't have enough bandwidth to listen to audio on the web. So, we got that covered.
So, to our pals in Philadelphia, good luck to Villanova tonight.
Are they playing a ball game?
They're playing for the national title Monday night.
I need to get out more.
Which will be tonight by the time they hear this in Philadelphia.
So, do you have a prediction?
Yes, Villanova over North Carolina.
Good call. always pick the home team.
I'm not good at picking scores, so don't ask for that.
Okay, I won't do that. Since I didn't know who was playing, I'm not qualified to force you into a tiger box.
It's the end of March Madness.
The only person who would know less about it would be Bill.
Yeah, I'm not really into hockey, so, you know, I couldn't help you there.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. Well, And archives. I guess we should remind folks that we have programming that goes back into 2010. I think we were October of 2010 when this started. So the archives go way, 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 way back.
You just can't get enough. You can just get on there and get all you want.
We also have a lot of different topics. I had somebody call me the other day and tell me they were all angry, actually, about the monument. The proposed monuments, and they had never heard that was happening.
Up in Siskiyou and Modoc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I went back and looked in our archives. We were talking about that in 2011. So early 2011.
Yes, we've often been ahead of the curve.
So we were kind of way ahead of the curve. But that'll happen at the end of the year if you're curious about that. And I'm sure our guest will have commentary. That's one thing for our list today that we could chat about and educate people on. Seems like old news, but apparently it's not.
Nope. Some people are just hearing about it and thinking that it's like fresh.
Well, they also are kind of concerned they can do something about it, and I guess we should burst that bubble there before they get too far down the pipeline.
Yeah, unless you're the president, you really can't.
Exactly. So our guest today is Debbie Bacigalupi. My friend Debbie, let's see. Debbie, how did I meet you? Do you remember?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We've got her in the cone of silence.
Hello, Debbie!
Debbie, are you there?
Oh, well, it would help if I took myself off mute.
There you are.
I'm like, okay, well, that was a great intro.
She fits right in on this program.
I'm just keeping you three on your toes.
Yeah, I think you just bang your head on the phone. Bill will be doing that lately. He'll hit the microphone. So I don't know why we met. Why did we meet a long time ago?
Well, it had to be the dam issue. I think, wasn't it when we were trying to put together that film, for the dams, you know, to expose, you know, the corruption behind dam removal?
Probably was.
And then shortly after that, and you're right, we were talking about monumentalization way back then. And we were also, that was, I think, the time that the wolf conversation started coming up in Montague, in Yreka. I think that was around 2010.
True. There's been a lot of stuff the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. And I don't know how much of it's been going on before, but boy, it just sure seems like a truckload came and dropped off issues, especially up where your folks live.
Yeah, issues. I hate to be someone who says, I told you so, but we have been spot on about everything so far. Spot on.
Yep. I remember when Bert Holzhauser up there in Doris, he would tell people, oh, we're going to have wolves. You know, we need to have a big meeting about it. People were like, we're not going to have wolves. That's silly. Who would do that?
Yeah.
And now look at them.
Yep. Yeah, now we're having wolf conversations.
Now we're talking about how to manage them, right?
Yeah.
It's not whether or not we should have them. Now it's how we're going to manage them, and mostly how they're going to get whatever they want and we're going to get less of it. And I did not post the video you sent me yesterday. Maybe you could describe it for people.
Yeah.
Since it's like,
well, and to tie it in with the monumentalization, I was just reading from Dr. Kaufman's, you know, the Wildlands Project map, which a lot of your listeners know about. This is where is a map that was, and correct me if I or fill in where I'm missing, but that was conceived by, it was a plan that was conceived by the United Nations under the Convention on Biological Diversity, which George Herbert Walker Bush, when he was president of the United States, gave millions of dollars to. I think it was somewhere in the, it might, $50 million or more is what was given. Don't quote me on that number. But it was millions of taxpayer dollars that was going in support of this simulated reserve and corridor system to protect biodiversity. And I was reading the back, and it says, magnitude of the Wildlands Project conservation must be practiced on a truly grand scale, claims Reed Noss. Reed Noss is a professor out of Florida, the state of Florida, and he is currently teaching the Wildlands Project and very, very proud of it. I think they call it the Wildlands Network these days. They constantly change the name. But this is what it says. It is an estimated, claims Reed Noss, that large carnivores and ungulates require reserves on the scale of 25 million acres, okay? So ungulates, livestock, hoofed animals, where wolves require 100 million acres.
Oh, man. Well, because they run really fast.
Right. And grizzly bears, 242 million acres. So I think that is, you know, we've been hearing about wolves, you know, around where my parents' ranch is in Siskiyou County, and how wolves, they did these computer modeling. Remember, this is all about scientific dictatorship, technocracy, computer modeling, and how they did this computer modeling of the Siskiyou County area. And I, correct me if I'm wrong again, I think what they modeled was something like 452 wolves or 472 wolves, something like that. But, you know, which is craziness. It's crazy.
Yeah, how could you possibly, they would just decimate everything that's in there. Oh, you know, and speaking of which, the wolf, that stupid video, oh, I don't know, what is it, 10 minutes long, you know, the wolves in Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah, they saved
the guy with the
British
accent.
They saved Yellowstone.
Yeah, they created more water in the river or something.
Yeah, they grew trees, they planted crops.
How the wolves were to... put the ecosystems back the way they were.
Yeah. The magical fairy tale that, actually, by their logic, since wolves hadn't been there for 100 years and they saved the ecosystem, they haven't had hunting in Yellowstone for 100 years. So theoretically, adding hunting would, you know, again, improve the whole scenario.
I'm gonna
push for that. Anyway, we were listening to Coast to Coast Radio the other night, I don't know, about a week ago, and this guy, he all of a sudden, he goes, well, he's talking about the Serengeti effect or something.
The Serengeti effect.
So he says, well, and you know that the wolves have changed Yellowstone, and Bill and I are like, huh? No. And sure enough, he practically recited the whole video like it was fact.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that video is the narrator, you know, supposedly an expert, doesn't even know the difference between an elk and a deer. Right there, people, come on.
Hey, he's English. They're much more sophisticated than we are. Come on. When you hear that voice, you just have to assume there's a lot of sophistication there.
Yeah,
and, you know, that video has gotten, what, millions of hits?
Oh, yeah.
Millions,
sure.
By a public that has, you know, is clueless in some areas that they need to be... educated on, and the video that Erin is talking about that I sent to her is a video that I took the other day, and it is one of our calves. He was just a couple months old, and while we were rounding up cows for cow spa day, you know, we do their nails and their hooves, and we you know, pet them, and we give them their vitamins, and they go through the chute, and they love it. And, you know, we give them a tattoo. And so anyway, we love our animals, and we take good care of them. And so anyway, when we were riding around on our horses trying to gather up cows, there was a calf that a little guy who was laying down in rocks and alive with his back half chewed out. So, and it's just grotesque. Flies in it, and it was already starting to rot, and he could still walk, but just imagining, and there's nothing we can do. I mean, that's the video that should be spread around, and millions and millions and millions of people should be seeing. Because there's so many people who want more predators, more grizzly bears, more wolves, more coyotes, and to protect all these, you know, predators. And give them more space, like Reed Noss wants, millions, hundreds of millions of acres, and that would really decimate our rural America community, as you know. And then you've got dam removal, which is another attack, and then you've got monumentalization, which is another attack. And so we're just sitting here going, we're feeling like we're getting, you know, attacked by predators, and I think it's the federal government. And you know the crazy thing, and you guys know this, and is that these wolves are being introduced. They're being, and Director Chuck Bonham said to me at that, we went to a dam removal meeting, Erin and I did, and a few others. We drove all the way down to Sacramento to be in this public meeting for the first time, like a true supposed to be public meeting about the Klamath River Dam removal.
And Sacramento, and that was handy as well, because there was probably no other place to have it, so the closest was Sacramento, is that right?
Right, and you know, nobody filmed it. I was the only one filming the whole thing. I think another person came in and filmed a little bit later, but and not as much. But for the largest dam removal project in worldwide history, and me, little old Debbie, is the only one videotaping it Where was the media? Where were the newspapers? Where was the public? But, you know, that all these attacks from different angles, and in, you know, it's amazing to me that we are still have energy to fight back.
Yeah, because a lot of it is, it'd be easy to look at it and say, well, it's just too late. You know, they've got us all wrapped up with a bow on it, and we're never getting out. But, you know, it's interesting. The more people wake up to what's going on, the easier it's going to be to push back on it.
Yeah, that's why I hope ranchers and farmers and people who live out, actually anywhere, carry around a video camera, an audio device, anything to start recording what I'm going to call abuses to the people from the government or from other people for that matter, radical environmentalism, trespassing, all these different things, and expose it, get it out there, put it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, and ask people to share, because our demise will be that a public is not well educated and not educated enough to apply what Daniel Webster called the remedy. So make them intelligent, and they will be vigilant. Give them the means for detecting the wrong, and they will apply the remedy. But if people don't understand, you know, what is going on out there, if they're watching, you know, Villanova today and not paying attention to what's going on worldwide with the environment and with our government and all these, gosh, you know, just crazy issues, you might as well just sit and watch Villanova today and call it a day.
Well, you know, Debbie, I saw the video you're talking about with the calf, and I mean it was sickening. And I think what people really have to realize is that's one calf. Imagine what's happening out there with the deer population, with the elk population, the young animals that cannot run a wolf.
Right.
There's not gonna be much of a deer and elk population left in fairly short order, because the young ones are going to go first, and there'll be nothing to replace the herds we have now. So, I mean, we have to get on the ball with this.
We have to take a really quick break, Debbie. And you know what?
Sure.
Can you email me that video so I can post it? I don't seem to be able to get it from my text messages.
Sure. And, you know, maybe I'll put it on YouTube right now.
Ooh, that would be even handier. And I'll post that link.
It is on Facebook. It is on my Facebook. So for those who are on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page and find it.
Is it an easy one?
I made it public.
Is it an easy one to get to, your Facebook page?
Debbie.Bacigalupi. Or they can go to Aaron Ryan and find me through Aaron's friends.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we should. Your last name is Bacigalupi, correct?
Yes.
In other words, not easy.
Yeah, we'll spell it again.
It means kiss of the wolf.
It does?
Or wolf kiss is what the Bacigalupi means.
Wow, that's ironic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I guess there is such a thing as destiny.
Keep an eye on her, yeah.
Well, there is that, too.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish
for. That's right. She might be a biter.
We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Guessing with friends like the Defenders of Wildlife and Sierra Club, all the rest of them. Yeah, I think he's going to survive.
Yeah, he's going to make it. Hey, have you seen the new car commercial? I don't know if it's Subaru or whatever it is, where the guy, he goes out and he makes friends with a mama wolf, and then he lives with the
They all get in his car and they drive around,
and then, you know, they're all sad when he has to go back to the city, and, the wolves are your friend.
Is that a public disservice or what?
Oh, absolutely.
They're just fuzzy. I saw another one where little kid was in a... I don't know, it must have been a zoo or something. You know, a lot of times at the zoo, they have a big glass wall, and you can sit inside, but, you know, you're right up against one of the... It's either a tank with fish in it, Anyway, the setting of this one is a wolf cage, and so the kid is up against the glass with his face, like, pressed against the glass, and the wolf comes over and is, like, 2 inches from his nose, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just how that would work.
Except
without that glass, it'd be just like that.
They're the dolphins of the forest.
There you go. That's totally true, too. That is the way they see them.
But, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but I've just noticed that if you watch...
The propaganda is everywhere.
It is. If you watch much television, you're starting to see more and more pro-wolf stuff out there. And I don't think that's an accident.
No, I agree, Bill. I absolutely know it's not an accident. These things, you know, you've got marketing teams who are their job is to study what is the fad coming up, you know, and to start marketing with that fad. And you see dog food now that's got that brand and
it's got the picture of the wolf on it.
They make the wolves look so beautiful, and which they are pretty animals, and I have to admit, you know, they're
gorgeous. It's funny when you bring up that dog food commercial. I think the slogan there is, you know, bring out your dog's inner wolf. And, you know, I look over at my dog, and, you know, he's sleeping on a pillow. You know, and it's like, I don't think there's much wolf in my dog.
I don't know. He did bite me in the face, however, I beg to differ. But.
Well, yeah, okay.
Stop feeding him that food.
We're watching for wolves now because we've heard that people have spotted them within, you know, within a few miles of our ranch. We have, so we go to bed now. We've always gone to bed hearing coyotes, you know, every once in a while. We're hearing them more and more. They're in bigger packs, the coyotes are, and now we're being told that, remember, it was not whether or not wolves would be here. If they would be here. They were telling us it's a matter of when.
Right. Where was the calf in that video?
The calf was in one of our weigh scales, an old weigh scale. So we put him in this boxed area.
Was that wolf or was that coyotes? You probably can't tell if it was a coyote or a wolf that did that.
We don't know, but... It was probably coyotes. If it was a wolf, it got scared off before it could do much more damage. But wolves only eat what they want, and then they take off. Where coyotes live in the world of this may be their last meal.
Right.
And carry off the different parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are not sure. But we had to take the calf back. He was only 2 fields over. I ran over to where the calf was found. It wasn't that far.
Right.
When people say, "Oh, well, you need to have 24/7,"
range, folks. Yeah, that's very economical.
Or you just put up flashing. I love fishing game. We'll just put up flashing lights, or you put these little pieces of cloth on the fence because that's going to frighten them away. I'm like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flaggery, and then you're supposed to play loud rap music and have big lights, and that only lasts for so long where the wolves get used to it. They're
How peaceful is that?
I was going to say, how relaxing.
Yeah, live in the country.
There's a book. You were talking about the propaganda. I have a book called The Three Little Wolves and the Big Bad Pig, and it's a children's book.
The Three Little Wolves
and the Big Bad Pig.
Wow.
No kidding.
No kidding. So there is a happy ending to our calf story, our killed calf. We had to euthanize it. There was no way that we could do reconstruction. It was going to be, the vet came, we called the vet right away, and he came out, and it's a big animal vet here in the valley. And he said that there is no way that the likelihood of this calf surviving is slim to none. It's going to be reconstructive surgery, constant care, constant cleaning out. Aaron, it was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
I can't believe he was still walking around.
And he's still, but you know, that's, you've got, we've got this, like, this, I don't know, this energy to live and survive. And, you know, he had that in him. He had that spirit, and it, which was, made it even harder to euthanize this little guy. And I watched the vet, you know, give him the shot, and just, and he still didn't want to die. He still didn't want to go. The vet had to give him several shots. And wow. Before he finally went. And, you know, it's just so sad. But here's the good story. Here's how it ended. We had another calf born the other day while we were working cows. And we don't know where this calf's mom went. She disappeared. We have no idea where this cow's, this little guy's, actually is a cow, a female cow, a heifer. We have no idea where her mom went and what her mom was. So all day when we're working cows, 10 hours. And so each cow that goes through the chute has her spa day, sniffs the little calf and goes on her merry, the cow goes on her merry way. So at the end of the day, we couldn't find the mom. So we tried to pair the new calf, this little heifer, up with the 429. 429 is the tagged calf that was killed or that euthanized after the predator attack. So 429 mom, we're now trying to pair up with this red heifer who we can't find her mom. And she lets, you know, when the calves aren't milking off the udders get really full off these cows. Cow is a female cow, female heifer. An adult heifer, and so you've got this swelling in the udder of milk, and so that it gets very painful, and they to relieve that pain, you know, that you milk the cow or the calf, you know, milks off the excess milk or the swelling milk. Well, she let this little red heifer suck off her, but she'd smell it and knew that it was not her calf. So she'd kind of kick her away, and we had to bottle feed this little heifer for a little while. And then we had, in one of the wolf movies that we've watched many, we just watched one the other day, because we are told it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to have wolves. So what they did was they took the hide of the dead calf off of, like we did with the, I'm not explaining this very well.
Oh, I know, with the euthanized,
where I'm going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so we took some hide off of the dead calf, and we wrapped it around the little red heifer, and my dad cut the ear off of the dead calf and stuck it to the ear of the little red heifer. So she's got, I'm going to post this picture too. It's absolutely adorable. Here you have a little red heifer with a black fur coat around her, like a band from the dead calf, and a black ear. And then, oh my gosh, it's so funny. But anyway, the mom, the cow, smelled the hide and smelled her calf and started letting the red heifer suck off her. So good story, terrible story turned good.
How long did
I hope I explained that
how
well.
Long
this
does
is all new to us. This is all so new to us,
well,
as ranchers.
How long before the mom doesn't notice that it's different anymore and you can, you know, take all that off?
I think it's different. It's hard to tell. It's different with all cows. Sometimes you have great moms who would let any calf suck off them, and then you have some cows that are, you know, just they reject their own calves. So it's really hard to tell.
That's just like real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a ewe that was that way. We had a sheep that had babies and had lambs, and she didn't want anything to do with them. It's like, okay, I'm done with you. We had to bottle feed them. She wouldn't let them nurse.
I'm over the whole thing. Interesting. I guess there are bad parents everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, you know what we have to do? We have to explain to people about monuments. We talked about it in the first part, but after I spoke with that guy the other day who was just learning about that, we should probably give people more information. Apparently that word hasn't trickled all the way out yet. So, in the meantime, we'll be trying to add these videos. I don't know if you sent them to me yet or not, but I will add Debbie's video so you guys know what we're talking about.
I don't have much internet service up here, so if there's a way you could pull it off my Facebook, I've been trying to while we've been talking.
I'm scanning my system because I have some sort of virus. Today is not a good electronics day.
I'll keep trying.
But it will get posted if it's not up there already.
Yeah.
Let's see. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online if, in fact, you don't have a virus and you do have good enough service. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Subtle.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, you've returned to We the People Radio. Where?
More choice cuts coming up.
Before we go to monumentalization, can I just say a couple more things about those bulls?
No, obviously we're on a very tight schedule and we're extremely rigid with our format.
There are other impacts which we learned about during all the meetings, Aaron, that you and I were going to all over California to try and educate people on the wolf. In some of the meetings, we were told we should be shot as ranchers. I mean, it just, and in one, Aaron, your story about the little girl who was like, oh, I want to, she had her little wolf.
Oh, yeah, she's wearing her little wolf hat, and she said she was begging the commission, please list the wolves. I want my 3-year-old to have the opportunity to meet one in our backyard.
Hmm. Yeah, and
yeah,
we're
that leaves you kind of speechless.
We're not being told about the deadly diseases that the wolves have, that they carry, the 50 or more parasites, one, you know, the Hydatid disease, which is deadly to humans and deer and babies and dogs and even, you know, cattle and the wolves themselves. So we don't hear about those things. They don't want to talk about those things.
Truly, and, you know, in case we skip over it and somebody hasn't heard our litany of wolf programming, please do go back, actually, in our archives. There's a lot of information. You don't have to take our word for it. But that Hydatid disease creates cysts in the person or the animal, and they just eventually explode. And when those cysts blow, you die. But you could be carrying them around for months. And so all those people living in the city are like, well, it's a good day not to live in the country. Yeah, nice try. It could be you get out at a rest stop and you have a pet. And your dog runs or, you know, I'm assuming it's people don't let their cats out at rest stops. I don't know. Some people probably do. So your dog runs around at the rest stop and you've had wild animals there at night, maybe when nobody was around. Deer who carried some of the wolf feces on their feet. Drop it in the rest area. You pick it up. Now it's in your vehicle. Now your kids are playing with the dog. I mean, there's it's a real easy, you know, just is not that complicated. You don't have to be in the back country of no man's land in order to come in contact with this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're noticing, and there's the other thing I wanted to say is, and we're noticing this already, that our animals, our livestock, are not behaving the way they used to. There is, what we say is, there's something out there. There's something that's been in our horses and something that's been in our cows that my dogs for 6 years have been in and about and around our, we've got seven horses up in the higher mountains, and my dogs, they chase my dogs out of the fields now, and they've never done that before. They've, our horses have always gotten along with our dogs, and now all of a sudden they're scattering out of them. The dogs are now afraid of the horses, and they've never been afraid of the horses, and the horses are pushing out the dogs. And the same thing is happening around our cows. As we work them on cow spa day, they are more agitated, which makes it more dangerous for us to work around the cows. We call them crazy. You know, we'll go, say that cow is wild. Well, now we're getting more and more wild cows, which we want because we want the cows, you know, able to defend themselves, and which they have to do with mountain lions and coyotes, and sometimes we get bears. But we've never had wolves, and so anyway, it's just not a future that we're looking forward to. And I truly believe that it is to push or nudge ranching into disfavorable, hard to do, dangerous, and just like monumentalization will be. It's to take a huge swath of land and protect it away from human use. So how's that segue? How is that?
I think it's a fabulous segue. And, you know, just I'm always in the back of my mind, I always hear the people who don't have the opportunity to live in areas like we do, where they have a lot of open land. And just in case you guys thought you were going to slide by on this one, yeah, the price of beef is going to go through the roof.
Yep.
I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, when you break it down to a consumer level, this has a huge effect on everybody except the grass eaters.
Well, we were just talking about it on the break that, you know, as this progresses, it's going to cost more and more money to basically process these cattle because they're going to be harder to handle. You're going to spend more time.
Few people doing it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's going to take more time to vaccinate and you know, just basically process them through, and that price is going to be reflected in our wallet. I mean, you can't raise it for nothing.
Not just the food, all the thousands of byproducts from asphalt to tires on cars, on bicycles. I love to tell vegans, you cannot be a vegan or a vegetarian in modern day society because something you've touched today was brought to you by livestock, by cattle.
Yeah, I think the most surprising thing is tires.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that I just didn't see coming. I saw that on a list one time. I was like, get out of here. Tires?
Yeah,
there's
tons.
Well,
it helps keep the elasticity. I think it's stearic acid. It might be the fatty acid, but same thing. But it glue is, so anything that sticks together is the probability of livestock being in, byproduct being in there is high. Elmer's glue is a cow. Elmer is a cow.
Oh, so yeah, right, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yikes,
Jello,
that was kind of obvious,
the different
huh?
things that come from livestock. So for those people who think that wolves are cute and cuddly and we need more wolves and less livestock, I would say start looking at your pocketbook, start looking at the things that you use every day. Don't be a hypocrite. If you like wolves over livestock, wolves over cows, quit riding your bike, quit driving your car, quit using asphalt, quit using desk insulation, sheetrock. candles, shampoo, soap. I could go on all day.
Well, it's in Jell-O, so you can't go to the hospital anymore. That's out.
Oh, you're kidding.
Don't get hurt. All right, we have to take one more quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking to Debbie Bacigalupi this morning, this afternoon. Sorry, it just felt like morning. And I'm time traveling, so I'll just shut up now. Bye. good song.
That I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad woman would want.
Voice with you. Listen.
I don't think little big girls should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh,
big eyes you have. Hey, Debbie, is this like a family theme? This could be like your family theme song.
No.
Not going to do it.
So it's good enough for me to play at a wedding, but not good enough for your family theme song? What are you saying?
Oh, we just even hate the hearing wolf, you know.
I know.
It sends chills up your spine, again, because they said it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when they'll be here, and they're already here.
Well, the you know, and the other big deal with this is they're not endangered. There are a zillion of them. The whole endangered thing is a complete scam, and at the federal level, there's a huge move to delist them. Because if we do let this run away like it was a long time ago, it took us, what, 100 years to eradicate wolves? I mean, that is a hard, hard job.
Well, and obviously we didn't eradicate them because they're here. So when people say they're extinct or they were, and that's not true. They've never not been here.
They were just not on us, you know. So now we've got to get them. I guess we have to let them ruin our lives again and bring all sorts of disease so we can live like a third world country and then we can rediscover the West all over again, I guess.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And people need to speak out. At the meeting that I was with you, Aaron, in Sacramento about the dam removal, I went up to California's Fish and Wildlife, by the way, formerly Fish and Game, right?
Fish and Game, yeah.
Yeah, because it was about hunting, and now it isn't. Yeah.
Now, and once Chuck Bonham took, who is an attorney for Trout Unlimited, and he also worked in Peace Corps, so he has that, in my opinion, a more radical tent to him when it comes to the environment. And I went up to him, and I said, the last time I saw you was at the Wolf meeting, and he said, oh, you were filming me. And I said, no, not that time, and I said, so he came up to me and said, you know, Debbie, we're not bringing them into California. And I said, I would say that too, Chuck, if I were you. And he said, we're not bringing them in. And I said, oh, well, it's interesting that as soon as Fish and Game Commission said we're going to protect them, once a wolf crosses the border into California, we're going to protect that wolf, you shoot it, you go to jail and you're fined, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars, but you're guilty until proven innocent. And so what I said to Chuck is, I wouldn't admit that I was bringing in the wolves either. But we need to say something. And I was really proud, although I was very scared to say something to him, I was very proud of myself for putting him on notice. And that's what we, the public, need to do. Is be loud and proud, because what we are sharing is the truth. We are spot on about all this stuff, and it's not because we're more intelligent than anyone else. We, Aaron, you, Bill, we, Bob, we all spend our lives studying this stuff, researching it, going to meetings, showing up on phone calls, being open to hearing the other side, and then putting the pieces together of this big picture. And the big picture is not pretty. The big picture is a movement like monumentalization, where you're going to force people out of the rural lands and into mega regions or city states, where we're moving away from what the United States is set up as right now, which is a nation state system where each state is sovereign. Each state is supposed to be represented by the people who live there, right? That's where the power is. But now you have this overarching system called the federal government, who is supposed to be limited and defined in its power, taking up more land, more water, as Obama said in his State of the Union in 2014, that under his administration, no administration in history has protected more water and more land than his. Welcome to the 21st century of environmentalism.
Well, and we've seen his EPA obviously is incredibly good at protecting water. Gold King Mine.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, we're gonna take a hard break here. When we come back, let's get into the monument issue. You've mentioned it a couple times. I want to make sure people understand how big a deal that really is.
We're just
is.
Like stringing them along.
Yeah.
This is like the news. You know, there's a story at the beginning of the news. They don't air till the end, so you can pretty much go to sleep till the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you only have 5 minutes to take that nap because we're coming right back. And in the meantime, you can find us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us, and we'll be back with Debbie Bacigalupi.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio, Midway. Got another fun hour for you. Today we're chatting with our friend Debbie Bacigalupi. She's a woman of all seasons. She does a lot of educating, actually. I had entitled today's show, Educating the Masses About Agenda 21. And, you know, all these different topics, wolves and monuments and dam removal and all that stuff, all falls under the same heading. Also, our good friend Patrick Wood will be on with us. And I was just looking quickly. When is that happening? That is happening next week, apparently. Patrick Wood's going to be on with us talking about technocracy. So that is a perfect. He's also going to be talking about that new, I don't know if it's a memo that was leaked or an email or something where the global warming guys talked about how, well, you know, so global warming is fake, but boy, it sure worked well. We got everything we wanted. So that'll be kind of interesting. And then the week after that, we are talking with Joe Gazzardi, I believe his name is, about immigration, illegal immigration. So it's not really immigration, it's illegal. It's people coming from another country who stay here without, you know, actually becoming citizens. However you want to call that. Whenever I say illegal immigration, I want to slap myself. So,
yeah.
However you term that.
They're just overstaying their visa.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that is, I guess, like 40% or whatever. Apparently, we really suck when the visa runs out
Yeah.
We have no exit plan. So, Debbie, back to you. When did you start doing all this activism stuff anyway?
I think it was right around the year 2007, 2008, when I was working at Google and hearing the talks that were happening on the Google campus in Mountain View. As a cattle rancher's daughter, hearing from speakers, visiting speakers, we do these things called authors at Google. So So we'd bring in an author or speaker at Google or presidential candidates at Google, and I was in charge of these events. And Ben and Jerry, for example, of Ice Cream, came in and did a talk about sustainability and how we are pillaging the earth. And there were a couple talks like that. And I was sitting there going, as a cattle rancher's daughter, sixth generation, going, are you kidding me? We take care of the land. We love the land. We love our animals. Why would we destroy that which we love so much? It didn't make sense to me.
Did they forget their ice cream's made out of milk?
Yeah, exactly. And they've sold off the company, I think, to Unilever. I'm not sure. I think it was Unilever. I'm probably wrong. Don't quote me on that. But Unilever is a huge organization involved in Agenda 21, has been involved in Agenda 20, pushing sustainable development for a long time. We are moving into a, under Agenda 21, into a system where there are only going to be a few of everything. That includes food. That includes companies. When I was working for American Airlines when I was 18 years old, I remember I was just getting into going to UC Davis, and I remember the CEO, Robert Crandall, at that time saying, in the future, there will only be three of everything, and we want to be one of those three. No joke, when you get on an American Airlines airplane, I don't know if it's all of them. I flew on American Airlines a couple weeks ago, and there's a big round circle, like a globe, and it says, I think it says one world. It says one world. So Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century, as probably many of your listeners already know. It is moving us into what is called a new order. And what you'll find out from Patrick Wood about technocracy is we are moving into a system where it is called a new international economic order, which has to do with all resources. All resources, including all the resources out in rural America. It's about controlling, monitoring, and surveilling all resources, counting them, managing them, and then divvying them up based on what Agenda 21 says, basic human needs. In other words, not an extravagant life, because this fragile planet, Mother Nature, Gaia, rocks have rights agenda in the 21st century says that this planet is much too fragile for all the human beings, for the explosive population that we have, and human beings, especially those of us in North America, because of our standard way of living in North America, which is a higher standard of living than elsewhere throughout the world, that we North Americans are especially in the United States, because of our greed, is what they're saying, because of our upward mobility, our greed, the fact that we consume, we buy lots of things, that we are destroying planet Earth. And how do you stop that? You limit growth. Limits to Growth is a book that was written by a United Nations organization, Club of Rome. Very global elite people, powerful elite, who believe that they know better. They're technocrats is what they are. They know better, and Patrick's going to talk, it'll be a fascinating show next Sunday, that these technocrats, these scientific dictators, and these people who believe that only the skilled, so you and I are not considered the skilled, by the way. Only the skilled know how to manage all of the Earth's resources. And so, anyway, it's a fascinating conversation.
Well, if that's true, why is it that you have countries like India that have massive population and no resources, and they keep getting bigger? I mean, their resources are they're not managed because they don't have any. So I don't see how that's going to cut back on the population.
Well, they eventually will. It's we're seeing in the United States a hovering, I guess you could say, of our population growth. The only less people are having families, but then you have this influx of migration coming into the United States and open borders. They don't want to close our borders. They want our borders open just like regionalism or America 2050, which is the ultimate goal for Agenda 21, is the blueprint for the 21st century called Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. According to the United Nations and the Club of Rome and the Bilderbergs, all these different groups that people don't really need to know who they are if they don't already, but just know that these are a very powerful elite group of people, the Council on Foreign Relations, they believe that the only way that we can sustain planet Earth is if we move people into what they call the built world. And where I'm getting all this, where I've gotten some of this information, is from my United Nations Environment Program book. It's 1,140 pages. You've seen it. It's called The Global Biodiversity Assessment. And throughout this document, this treaty, if you will, we soft-lawed it into the United States of America, and it's where George Herbert Walker Bush, in the beginning of this call, gave something like $50 million. I said, don't quote me on that number, but millions of taxpayer dollars to the United Nations so that they can control and monitor the world's environment.
Now, who wrote this? So, who wrote this report? Was it written by United Nations or?
It's a United Nations Environment Program, yes, the United Nations, but when you look at the people who are involved in writing this book, lots of U.S. people, including Reed Noss, who I mentioned earlier about the wolves and the Convention on Biological Diversity and the 100 million acres that was needed for wolves. So, and to protect hundreds of millions of acres based on planet Earth is being pillaged by human beings, and therefore we must limit what human beings do on Earth, and that every human action must be integrated into curtailing or mitigating our environmental impact on every action, like breathing, for example, they say has an environmental impact. Actually, that was Bill Clinton's Executive Order 12852 in a book that his council, called the President's Council on Sustainable Development, wrote a document called Agenda 21. You can easily get this on, it's called Agenda 21, the Earth Summit Strategy to Save Our Planet. And it says on page 6 and 7, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require profound reorientation of all human society unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action. So they're saying that you, right now, your radio show, me talking to you over the phone, me on my computer trying to upload this YouTube video of the wolves attacking or the coyotes attacking our little calf, all that is human action. You sleeping, you everything you do, you talking is considered a human action. And they're saying that every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision making at every level. I use the example of Obamacare. It is now my business, since I'm paying for, you're paying as a taxpayer, as we move into a universal healthcare system, or a one healthcare system in the United States, which eventually will go to universal because that's the goal. It is now my business what you eat, what you drink, what you smoke, whether or not you walk or take, one of those go-karts and you're, 400 pounds, and it's now my business. Whereas the system that we used to live in, and I say used to because we are already moving in that direction, the system that the United States was built upon was your individual talent. You're an individual. You're great. You could do anything you want. But not this new agenda for the 21st century, because it's all about the common good and protecting Mother Nature first. Rocks have rights. The coho salmon have rights over you. We're going to take out 4 clean, green hydroelectric energy dams for these fish that you can buy at Whole Foods for $8.99 a pound, or go up to Alaska and fish the heck out of them.
Well, they're not.
Because it's not about the environment. It's not about protecting the environment, obviously, because then they would say, we can't destroy these dams. We should not get rid of ranchers and farmers because they're taking care of the land. That's not what this agenda is about. It's about controlling all resources on planet Earth by a selective few, and this is nothing new, right? Throughout history, we've always had human nature is power. And when you get so much power, you want more power.
Well, you look at the Al Gores of the world who do as they say, not as they do. I mean, classic case of that. We need to take a really quick break, and I just want to announce the success of the calf video being loaded to the webpage.
Yay! Is it YouTube?
I pulled it off your YouTube channel. So
all right, someone can be the first view on that YouTube.
Yes,
so
definitely go take a look at it. WeThePeopleRadio.us, click on today's show. And today happens to be April 3rd, in case we're replaying this at a different time. See you in a minute.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart. Give a damn's busted. There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, this one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, you can hear. And it's growing stronger with each day that passes by. There's a brand new morning, rising clear and sweet and free. There's a new day dawning that belongs to you and me. Yes, a new.
Did you have to bust out your barf bag there, Debbie?
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah. Yeah, who was that, Bob?
That was Mama Cass.
Oh, well, we all know how that worked out. Stay away from the ham. Okay, so monuments are created by presidents, usually at the end of their term, using the 1906 Antiquities Act, where with their magical pen, they wave it over the landscape and turn public land that would have been managed by Forest Service or BLM or somebody, we're going to use the word managed in quotes, and they turn it into a monument. And once it's a monument, well, no cattle grazing, no... Do you have the list handy on the tip of your tongue, Debbie, for all the no items? Actually, the yes items is probably shorter.
It is bottom line, limited to no human use.
Yeah.
In perpetuity, forever.
And
never be returned back to the private sector.
And if you accidentally...
Hurts the local communities.
Sure.
Takes the taxes away. Yeah, the property taxes, yes.
Yeah, and if you happen to own, because it happens a lot, you know, there's national forest around somebody's private property, and I believe in nobody knows exactly what it will look like, because it isn't like a lot of things where they publish a bunch of maps and then there's public meetings and everybody gets to weigh in. This is all sort of covert, and before you scream bloody murder, why is Congress allowing it? Well, they would have to get rid of the Antiquities Act. Or modify it significantly, and I'm just thinking that this president isn't going to sign that. That's just a guess. But, if you have private property inside that monument designation, your ability to make changes, pave your road, add an outbuilding, all those things will be stopped, I guess. So they don't take your property, but they kind of take your ability to use it the way you had planned.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of him successfully, like, getting rid of a monument after? I mean, the president really, nothing, how do I want to say this? Nothing actually happens. I mean, it's not like they go put a fence around it or, you know, it's a designation on a map. So theoretically, it could be undesignated on a map. Has that ever happened?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
It's a fairly new topic within the last 20 years, just like Agenda 21. I don't think we know enough about it. We know about it, but we don't know if there's, I don't know of any success stories where the, I don't think that there have been land that has been monumentalized. My understanding is it's in perpetuity, forever and ever. Once it's monumentalized, it can never go back, is my understanding. I could be wrong. But it flies, if they do give it back, whether it's private or public, it flies in the face of their agenda, which is to link all national parks together through a core and corridor system. Reed Noss again, going back to the beginning of the conversation, through the cores and corridor system. And California has already passed a bill called AB 2785, the California Essential Habitat Connectivity Project. And you can go to find, it's on Fish and Game, it's california.gov. I don't have the, actually I could, I, it, for your listeners, here's where I would go. SCWildlands.org, as in Siskiyou, Cascade, Wildlands.org, and you could see there the projects that they're working on, which is part of this monumentalization system. So you monumentalize for whatever reason. They may say it's a carbon sink, like in Siskiyou County, Siskiyou Cascades. They want to, the rumor is, and this is what's come up for you, Aaron, that you've heard in our circle of, I guess, patriots, people who are battling all these different issues in Northern California. There are meetings that are popping up again about monumentalizing the Siskiyou Cascade region. It's up to 10 million acres between Northern California and Southern Oregon, mostly forested land, that would be monumentalized and could be monumentalized under the Obama administration. And if you drive along the Klamath River, which there's the agenda to remove the four clean green hydroelectric energy dams, as you drive down that wild and scenic road bypass down the Klamath River, you'll see signs saying stop the dam scam or no to monumentalization. And the no to monumentalization is to stop, to bring awareness to this process called monumentalization, which is again to take a huge swath of land under an executive order and say, this land is no more use. You put that in, you couple that with conservation easements and national parks and state parks. And now you have this core and corridor system and AB 2785, the California Essential Habitat Connectivity Project. Oh, and I forgot about this one. What about one of Obama's very first initiatives when he became president, the America Great Outdoors, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Which is to link all national parks together across the United States. And so it's to, it is a big, AKA land grab, is what it is.
Oh, sure it is. And remember here, what was it, a year or two ago, they raised the fees to go into these national parks to where, I mean, if you had a young family that didn't have a lot of money that wanted to go up and maybe tour Lassen Park or something like that, what is it now? It's like $25 $25 just to drive through the park? I mean, they can't afford that, so they don't go. So again, they're pretty much priced out of going and seeing the land that they paid for.
Right.
So
Yeah. And we have Rob on the line who has a question. And I don't know what it is, or I'd tell you. Hi, Rob.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Rob?
Rob.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, no sweat. Okay, this so is the part I'm, where you I'm ask. One...
Huh?
Yeah, this is the part where you ask the question.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You're talking about the monuments and whatnot, mm-hmm. and I can't cite anything for sure. I mean, I read a lot of stuff on the internet, and you know what that means, but... they had talked about something about getting rid of some monuments, some Civil War monuments. I don't know if that applies to what you guys are talking about today, but...
You know, it's kind of funny
I'm
you bring that up.
Here, if you're going to go and... If they're going to take these Civil War monuments away, couldn't that be something that... There's that whole idea of land is being held in perpetuity for, you know...
Well, it's kind of interesting because when I first heard about this monument thing, and I guess I've always, if I've spoken to large groups or whatever, I would always tell people, you know, when you think of a monument, you think of a man on a horse with a sword.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what monuments are. This is, like, the monument that they want in Modoc County is 3 million acres. Which exceeds the man on the horse with the sword. And so I don't know about those other literal, I mean, like, monuments, you know?
Well, I mean, if it is the Monuments Act...
It's the Antiquities Act.
In that respect, it's like, even if you do a small reversal of a monument per se, let's say they get rid of some Confederate general on a horse somewhere, then that sets the precedent in saying, hey, you know what? We reversed this monument decision here, why couldn't we reverse this one and give the land back to the people.
Exactly.
Good point.
And I don't know if they're connected. Because I think
those are two different...
I think literally it's the word that screws it up.
Yes.
But the Antiquities Act was... The idea was so that if we stumbled on something like Yosemite, and it was just so great that by the time it went through Congress, they might have mowed it down or blown it up or whatever... So the president could step in and say, no, this is a national treasure. We have to have this. You know, it's tied up. You can no longer, you know, mine it or log it or whatever. And I think that was the original idea, but I'm not sure it has much to do with literally the statue things. But you know what? They've gone kind of crazy on that this past year.
Yeah. It might be interesting to find out because, you know, if they got to play the way they play, and you know, you can get a lawyer with a brain in there, then maybe the people can have some sort of recourse. Anyway, thank you.
Hey, sure. Thanks for listening.
You know, I think a monument to mark a spot to commemorate an event is one thing. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we see those up and down the highway
right,
everywhere.
But they are looking to get rid of them. I mean, his point's well taken.
Oh, absolutely. And if they want to get rid of
God
those,
God forbid they
then,
be a Confederate general
yeah.
or something, then we got to take all those down. We've got to change the names.
But I think what he was getting at was, does that fall under the same
yeah.
guidelines as these multi-million acre monuments? If they can get rid of a guy on a horse with a sword, then
yeah.
why can't they get rid of the multi-million dollar monument as well?
Yeah.
I think it's two separate things, and my thought is that we know that, and Michelle Obama said this soon after Obama was, right after he was elected president, and she said we, and this isn't a quote, but it was something about we must rewrite history, and with Common Core, for example, you know, our new government, federal government education system, we know that they're not teaching children past a certain time in our history. And I think that they stop at the Civil War, or they start at the Civil War. They either go just after the Civil War or at the Civil War, that was one of their goals. I think that they are trying to erase history. That's why Obama gave back. What head did he give back to what country? You know, it is to rewrite history. And if we knew our history, we would have more people fighting on the behalf of freedom and liberty. But if you can wipe away history and rewrite it, people won't even know where they came from. So I think it's getting rid of these monuments that are, plus with this whole racism stuff and,
yeah.
You know, they've got to get rid of, they're blaming war and the way that the United States was founded on this racist agenda that where we killed all sorts of Indians and took over, pillaged the land and that we are destructive people and they need to destroy our history. They need to rewrite it so that future generations, which Agenda 21 always addresses future generations, are living in a peaceful society. Their goal is to have a peaceful society where we are all one, we are all equal, we're all the same, we're one big global happy family, right?
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
We've always been very good at exterminating the people that we don't like, and that's usually been a pretty good
motive. Well, the thing is, we just never like everybody.
Control.
Yeah.
And, yes. And land ownership lies at the heart, so they say, of social inequity, environmental or economic inequity. So if you're going to make things even and equal, you can't have the haves and the have-nots, although we will always have the haves and the have-nots, especially under Agenda 21. It's just more the people who are middle class are going to be pushed down into a lower class, where and we'll bring up the lowest class, bring up to where we all meet in the middle, and the majority of people are the same, and then you have your technocrats, your global elite, who are, you know, like you said, Al Gore, who is, you know, lives one way and is telling us we need to change our behavior and how we live. So, and I don't know enough about what your caller was talking about or calling in about, but to me it makes sense that we need to eradicate the things that bring up where someone was disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And that goes back to war.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, a lot of this, you know, it's interesting, the whole monument idea. I think that's how they get away with it. Most people do immediately think of a man on a horse with a sword. They don't think of large swaths of land, and Siskiyou Crest has been rumored to be like 600,000 acres, Modoc Plateau like 3 million acres. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's
the California Foothills Legacy area, which extends, is 18 million acres from Fresno all the way up to Redding, being studied right now as a range trust land. 18 million acres being studied right now for limited to no human use.
And so we know what that means. That'll be maximum to complete fire.
Right.
That's the way that turns out. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. I have also added the very annoying and extremely misleading video about how wolves changed Yellowstone, just in case you have missed our bashing of that in a previous program. Or three or four. That's on the page for today as well. With our guest, Debbie Bacigalupi. We'll be right back.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride, a whole new a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But now from way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world.
Well, you don't know what we can find.
I feel like I'm on a magic carpet. Gotta hang on for dear life.
Close your eyes, girl. Look inside, girl. Let the sound take you away.
Oh, yeah. So, Debbie, how'd you like that that song right before the break?
You guys always pick out the most perfect song for this segment.
That's Bob. It's all Bob.
Let me ask you this. If we had, say, a administration that wasn't totally insane, can they reverse a monument act?
I mean, well, that's kind of what we've been talking about a little bit.
You know, I don't know if they can, though.
The president would have to do it. Well, it's kind of like executive orders. A president could un-executive order, but they don't.
I would think so. I know. I've never heard of them doing that.
They're just dumb.
Well, maybe one of your listeners can look that up. And I have, like, limited internet service. But I remember when we were hearing back in, it must have been 2000, right around 2008, 9, 10, somewhere in there, maybe even earlier than that, about the Siskiyou Cascade, what they were going to call it at one point was Climate Refuge, and this is Northern California and Southern Oregon, as a carbon sink. So to offset our greenhouse gases as a big carbon sink, they were going to call it Climate Refuge at one time. And I remember hearing that it was up to 10 million acres, and I also remember the concern that the people had living in this area was that it would be in perpetuity, that the land would be forever not given back to the private sector, which would then would hurt the local economies,
well,
the
sure
children, you know, the school, the education, all of that.
But I would think that if
trickle down effect.
But if one man, a president, can with a swipe of his pen declare that land a monument. I mean, we're not voting it. We're not, you know, it's not on the say of the people. I don't know why the next president couldn't, with the swipe of his pen, get rid of it and give it back.
And perhaps it's that no president has done that.
Because they don't want to be labeled as a, I don't know, a climate hater. I don't know.
Well, anymore. Yeah,
right.
The difficulty... two becomes you'd have to have just the right mix if you were going to modify the Antiquities Act and close the door on the ability of presidents to do this. But lately, you know, in our lifetime, as my lately, it has turned out that this is what presidents do as a legacy item.
Right.
So, I mean, Clinton...
Oh, that's exactly why they do it.
I think Clinton tied up the most land.
Did he?
Yeah. He had a bunch of monument designations.
Well, I think and Obama started off this year monumentalizing several areas in California already. And you watch this year, as you said earlier, Aaron, I think we'll end with more monumentalizing by Obama, the Obama administration.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, unfortunately, so much of it happens in Northern California. I just don't think people realize how much stuff is going on up there. The one really good thing is the latest iteration of the dam removal scam with Bureau of Reclamation has kind of been, at least, I don't know, hasn't been derailed by any means, but at least it's been exposed so people know about it. I don't know if it
well,
can be
wait,
stopped
and
that way.
That will include millions or hundreds of thousands. I don't know. Luckily for me, Common Core math wasn't around because I would, when I was growing up, because I would absolutely obliterate any and all numbers. So with that being said, I obliterate all numbers as it is. But I know that under the Klamath River Restoration Agreement, there would be thousands and thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres that would go to a certain group, likely a tribe, one of the tribes, Indian tribes, that is going along with clean green energy dam removal and all the storage lakes behind them. By the way, California is, you know, is a naturally arid Mediterranean climate. We go through droughts. They are not normal. But when you've got the government just pushing water out to a sea that's supposedly rising instead of storing water when we need water for years of drought that we go through, you've got the land restoration or the restoration of these, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres in Northern California on the Klamath would go to a certain group, and they will limit the amount of human use in those areas because it's about restoring the land back to the ecosystem, to a healthy ecosystem, which goes back to the Wolf movie, which goes back to why they need to protect so much land, because human beings have been, you know, supposedly devastating to the land. And
see, that's where the whole argument falls apart, because that's making it sound like the land is that they're going to make a monument is dying from bad management, and it's not. It's thriving. So why change it? Why, you know, mess up?
I agree. I think we can all agree that we do want to protect beautiful areas. We don't want, you know, some developer, some big banker to come in and or some, you know, Al Gore type who can afford lots of things, lots of land, Ted Turner, lots of land, and turn it into a golf course or turn it into a resort of some sort and bring in. So there is a good point to protecting landscape. But at what point do we say, okay, enough? At what point? And I don't know that healthy balance, except for I look around, you know, my parents' ranch, and what we've done is enhance the land, put in ponds. We had years of floods, my dad went in and had to fix the river system. Back then you could, and you were told you must fix the river system, that on your property you were responsible for what happens. But I don't know where it tipped, where now the people who have been on the land for generations are now being accused of being the destroyers of species and fauna and flora. And so I don't know, you guys, that's a tough one. Like, where do you say, yes, we need to monumentalize? Like, I'm looking at one of our mountains here. It's called Table Rock, and it's absolutely spectacular. And there might be a developer who wants to come in and put homes or, you know, a resort on top because it'd be spectacular. But that is also, I think, the beauty of having farms and ranchers in our ranches in our landscape, is because farmers and ranchers really do love the open space and not, you know, and being far away from people and not living in, that's why we don't live in the city.
Right.
So I don't know. That's a curious. I don't know, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know where the balance is, but I've got to believe that somewhere on the books we must have a law that prevents that from happening already. You know, we don't need.
And the thing is, we are settled. You know, the United States. If you fly from California to New York, you're going to see mostly unsettled land, mostly where people aren't living. You're going to see hundreds of miles of acres, is that right? I don't even know how many.
No, you're right, and I think that's a really good point. I think when you go down, you know, into Southern California, in the big cities, people don't realize how much undeveloped land there is in California. I think they think it's just all being swallowed up by ranchers and farmers. And hey, take a drive up there and look at how much forest is up there that's untouched.
That's the part that people, you know, they think we've got five trees in somebody's front yard and that's all we have left. It's like,
miles and miles of nothing but woods.
We just drove, what did we do, about 550 miles last week?
Yeah, something like that.
Made a big loop, and the bulk of our driving was
undeveloped land.
In undeveloped land.
And just
exactly.
Going through the forest, yeah.
And a lot of that land is probably not, quote-unquote, monumentalized, right? That it still might be managed by the federal government, which it's not supposed to own land. I think we can all agree with that,
sure.
The federal government is only supposed to own forts and ports for our protection and the 10 square miles that is Washington, D.C. And that is it. The rest of the land is to be given to the people and the states to control and use for our own benefit.
Yeah, and but we'll so, be shut out. Hey, you know what? Speaking of being shut out, we have to take a really quick break. Because Bob told me we had to take a break 10 minutes ago, and I kind of forgot to do it. So one last swift break. You can find tons of information at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, I love this song. Here we go. This is for the poor calf.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just
get your ticket to that wheel in space while there's time. The fix is in. You'll be a witness to that game of chance in the sky. You know we've got to win. Here at home we'll play in the city. I would buy the fun. Perfect weather for a streamlined world. There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone.
Spandex jackets for everyone. You know, I never listened to that. A Beautiful City Powered by the Sun. How many times have I heard that song? I never heard that line. God, Bob, you're ruining music. You've destroyed music for me. Taking a perfectly good song, and you've made it sustainable. Ew. Makes me want to run and drive in a bike lane.
I don't really like that word sustainable anymore.
Oh, I don't like it at all. But yeah, it is amazing how they, you know, it's funny, you listen to some of that music, and I don't know if they knew it or not, but it's weird. It was like they were programming us. Obviously, it didn't take for me, but or you, or
well, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan wrote and performed that, and he released it back in the early 80s, and it was actually It was tinged with irony at the time he sang it, because he already knew that the world wasn't turning out like that.
Yeah.
Because he was making references to what it should have been like in the 70s.
Good. So it was a mocking song. I feel better about it now. Oh, good. He wasn't subliminally programming us.
No, his mocking was ahead of its time.
Nice. Love mocking. Can't go wrong with mocking. So, Debbie, what other critical things are on the horizon that we have 2 minutes to talk about?
Well, just to tie back to the wolves and how the wolves are being used to create expanses that are protected. In one of my United Nations, this big global biodiversity assessment, it says that naming keystone species like the wolves is essential. They play critical roles in the whole ecosystem. And so under this agenda for the 21st century, we are one ecosystem. This is why WOTUS, Waters of the United States of America, where the EPA is trying to declare that the rain that falls on your roof is not your rain, that it's part of the bigger ecosystem. So we're seeing big land grabs going on. We're going to see huge water grabs. And the only way that they're going to keep the momentum going into this major take over the earth, control, monitor, surveil all resources, is to fool the public that we are living in a time of scarcity. And so I go around the country, mostly the western United States, mostly California, speaking on these topics. Agenda 21, we are now experiencing the 2030 agenda by the year 2020. One of their targets, the United Nations and the United States, because we signed on to it, is to have the number of traffic accidents and traffic deaths. How are they going to do that in less than 4 years? The other goal is by the year 2020, less than 4 years, is to have all ecosystems protected. In less than 4 years.
Oh.
So we are seeing, and if people want to look up the 2030 agenda, just look up White House Fact Sheet 2030 Agenda. And they, you can see the targets, you can see how they comment on, we've adopted them and signed them with the United Nations. So they're no longer operating in secret. Their agendas are full out there. And if we don't pay attention and we do nothing about it, shame on us.
That was almost like you planned it.
No. I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Well, you know, sky's the limit. Hey, thanks a million for coming on with us this morning. It was we've tried to catch up a few times before, and it seemed like it never worked out.
Yeah, and let's do a show on the 2030 agenda because it is shocking.
We should definitely do that because there's a lot to get into on that. And
yes.
We promise we'll be serious, folks. Okay, no, we won't.
No.
Yeah, God bless you
okay,
all.
Okay, we're lying. All right, well, hey, say hi to your folks. Take care of the animals, and we'll chat with you next time.
All right, sounds good. Thanks
for
having
Debbie.
Me.
You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us for further information, sponsorship, shows, ideas for future programming. And we'll see you next week.